Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. Welcome. You are listening to the Identity Theft Warriors. This is part 26. Today we've got Nick Paris on. Nick, you are an information technology expert and really an expert in all forms of computer mayhem, whether it be stealing data, hacks, getting hacked, whatever it might be. And that's why you're up there on our list of expert identity theft warriors. Today, Nick, you've been good enough to come back on, speak about using ad blockers, which have the overall effect, perhaps, of making your phone more secure and less apt to get hacked through malware, but also basically turning off the electronic billboard feature of your smartphone. So welcome back, Nick.
Gary, thank you very much for having me on the show today.
So ad blockers, there's a bunch of them out there now. They're a little bit controversial. Overall, is it worth doing or not?
Oh, I believe it is. If you think about the fact that your computer, your phone, whatever electronic device you have, has only got a finite amount of resources, what you don't want it doing, like you said, is giving somebody else a rotating billboard on that device. You want it to do the things that you want it to do rather than, you know, promoting somebody else, you know, as much as it is.
Mm-hmm. And do you have to pay for these ad blockers or... how's that work?
I believe you get what you pay for. I think certainly the ones that are, you know, have a fee associated with them are going to be more apt to work better rather than any free version that you get of those. But again, what we're doing is we're seeing almost that same sort of battle that we are with viruses. There's free antivirus software and there's non-free antivirus software. And we're kind of in that same realm right now that we've got somebody taking control of our computer and making it do things that we really don't want it to do. On the flip side of the coin, I mean, you know, everybody should be able to make a dollar and you know, earn a living and things like that. But I think if the vendors weren't so egregious about it, I don't think there would be this backlash of people saying, okay, we've got to have something that just stops us before it even hits our phone or our computer.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, there's so many threats out there that you need to really, really be aware of this stuff. And whatever you can do to limit the number of potential threats, of which ads seem to be a major threat now, pretty much it's a good idea to do it.
Right, and by the mere fact that these ads are sort of embedded on websites, again, I think it's a prime area where, you know, somebody that wanted to hack your system, if they hacked that website and got into that ad somehow, certainly would have a much easier time of getting into your computer rather than, you know, some sort of phishing email or some scam like that. You know, if you're going to a legitimate site and it's got multiple ads and somehow they get in there, wow, now they're on your system. And you really got to hope that the people with the websites are doing a good job. But, you know, I'd rather not leave that up to them. I'd rather take control of my own environment.
Oh, for sure. And these ads can be really annoying. They can, even if they're not malicious, they can hijack your phone in the middle of something important. So it's just a good idea to get rid of them if you can do it. And hey, the revenue generating aspect for the vendors, well, they'll have to find another way to reach you.
Right. Or like I said, if they just weren't so prolific with it, I mean, and if the ads weren't such that they were, you know, rotating and high end graphics and this, that, and the other, I think it would also, you know, help the situation because, again, like I said, you know, your phone is not just a high end computer. I mean, it's very, they've gotten very sophisticated, but again, there's only a finite amount of resources that the phone and the computer has. And, you know, if I'm a business owner and I look at it across, let's say, a small business, like, you know, 10, 20 computers, and now all of a sudden they're each having to slow down by, you know, a fraction. Well, now all of a sudden, you know, what took them maybe, you know, a full day to get, you know, or 7.5 hours to get something accomplished, if it took them a full day, well, now they've lost a half an hour, and you start multiplying that out, and all of a sudden, you know, you're talking about some serious money. So it's something that really needs to be addressed. And it's unfortunate there's been this sort of, you know, backlash against it. But like I said, I think it's just the fact that if it wasn't so bad, there wouldn't be a need. And I think that's what's caused it.
Yeah. And it's a privacy issue too, isn't it? I mean, who gave them permission to turn your phone into an electronic billboard?
I certainly agree with that. I think if you're going to a website, you've got to kind of expect that whatever's on that website is going to be on that website. But if it starts getting to a point where it's not on your website, absolutely. I mean, there's absolutely no reasoning for them to hijack your phone like that. You know, you kind of expect that as you're driving down the road, you're going to see a billboard. Well, that's you conscientiously driving down that road. That's not somebody, you know, throwing you in your car and dragging you down the road and saying, hey, look at this billboard. And certainly those sorts of activities have to be curtailed.
Yeah, for sure. And the question is, who's going to do it? The government obviously doesn't really have any interest in reining in these companies. They really just keep doing their thing, and that's it. There really is no other means to stop it than for you to engage in self-help.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And, you know, it's we've just gotten to that point. You know, like I said, I mean, probably a year ago, you know, year and a half to two even, we weren't concerned about that because it wasn't happening that much. And it was a tolerable level. But now when it's just so prolific out there, you know, it's unreal. And you find yourself having to grind through trying to, you know, get your work done. That's terribly inefficient. And I think at that point, it actually does, you know, worse for the company than it actually does for, you know, the person that's trying to work. I've heard some estimates as high as, you know, that there might be losses of $22 billion, to the vendors. Which makes you understand that this is really big money. So there's going to be, I think, quite a battle between, you know, the end user and the vendor to say, okay, well, who's got the ability and the right to do whatever's happening?
Yeah. And of course, what they do with these ad blockers is they figure out ways around them right away, don't they?
Right. And like I said, it's kind of that virus cycle. You know, it's okay, well, here's the antivirus patch to take care of the virus, and the virus mutates, and, you know, they get back on, and it's that same sort of cycle. And I think we're going to keep going through that for a while until something, you know, either changes in HTML code or, you know, code underlying the operating systems of both computers and phones. So, you know, if it's identified as something like this, you know, maybe take care of it. Apple's been looking, I think, at you know, trying to include those into their OS. So we'll see what the implication of that is.
Hey, and one thing, Nick, about Apple versus Android, because those are the two leading platforms. I guess you have Windows as a distant third. But they've designed these things to basically allow these companies to do this, haven't they, these platforms?
Yeah. And like I said, I think they're seeing a little bit of backlash for that as well. And I think they're sort of changing their position again just a little bit to say, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't, or, you know, we'll to sort of placate everybody. We'll almost do what Windows did with antivirus. You know, Windows threw out their own version of some sort of antivirus software that's free. Well, you know, nobody that's in the industry really uses that. I mean, we use, you know, commercial grade stuff when we can. And so I think it was that same sort of, well, we better do something just so that, you know, we're not seen as making the problem worse. But, you know, like I said, there's certainly the ability with the underlying code and all here to really take care of this, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, they can do it if they want to, for sure. But like you said, billions and billions of dollars are at stake here. I don't know. I'm not much into these mobile ads that pop up on my screen. But the other thing is that, Nick, probably you agree it's true that that the Android platform is more susceptible to malware than the Apple platform, the iOS platform.
Kerry, I don't think so. I think they're probably both a little bit, you know, a little bit more equal footing. If iOS edges out, it would be just by a little bit. I wouldn't say it's like a factor of 2-1 or something like that. I think it'd probably be more like 60-40 or something like that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that the apps that are on Apple actually go through some kind of screening process from Apple. So at least basic things, basic forms of hacking will get picked up by Apple, whereas in the Android platform, you don't have that that ability necessarily.
No, but I think too, it is what you need to look at is the popularity of the platform. Mm-hmm. You know, the more popular platform, the more people are going to try to hack it. And so that's why sometimes I feel like, Apple seems to say, we're virus free, but it's so darn popular, that a hacker sees more of a potential there than they do anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, popularity, because the exact same thing happens on the desktop, where the PC mm-hmm. is 10 times more popular than the Apple operating system. And therefore, the majority of hackers are directed at the PC, not exclusively, but there's far less hacks on the Apple platform for the desktop as well.
Sure. It's almost supply and demand, like you're saying. I mean, you got a 10 to 1 shot of hitting it big. You might as well go where most of the people are.
Absolutely. And then the other thing is, because now I've noticed with the iPhone, it's really much more connected to your desktop and your tablet, other devices that you might have, than ever before. If they can get in on a hack on your iPhone or your smartphone, then they're more likely to be able to hit your desktop and other devices as well.
Yeah, the pass-through is a lot easier, that's for sure.
So is there any multi-platform ad blocker or security software that you use or recommend?
Well, I not so much on the ad blocker side, but we use a product called WebRoot. Mm-hmm. I believe it's got, it covers the whole range of tablets, PCs, Macs, the whole kit and caboodle. And so they understand that there's a kind of a synergy between devices now. I mean, that you're right. I mean, the whole big push lately has been everything's connected. And while that's really great on some levels, on some other levels, but it sure would be nice if they weren't connected, because if I'm passing it through, this thing may pass from one device to the other. So, with good sometimes comes some responsibility as well.
Yeah, you have a great point there. We're all connected, which makes us all susceptible. It reminds me of that commercial from 30 years ago, we're all connected, and they were just talking about telephones then, but it's really something that is quite potentially hazardous to your data and your whole way of life. And, that's why our sponsor here, KeepMyID.org, came up with the whole identity theft prevention system rather than a protection system, which mm-hmm. all most of them do, Nick, is monitor your activity. And if something pops up, then they notify you, hopefully right away, but sometimes it takes some days. And by then the damage is done. Better to prevent it from ever happening than to have to go fix the damage afterwards.
Yep.
So go to keepmyid.org, use the code FSN2. You get a great deal on the service, and it is the best out there. And Nick, just tell us where we find you, how we find out more about you, read your work.
You can find us on www.alphacomputing.com. If there's anything you need to reach out to us about, we've got the ability to have you fill in a form, and we'll contact you right away. Our phone number is there right on the top. Shoot us an email, give us a call, fill in the form, however you want to reach out to us.
All right. And go to the show if you haven't subscribed already. This is our 26th episode. And just go to the iTunes store, type in Identity Theft Warriors, hit the subscribe button. New shows will automatically get delivered to you. Generally, we do them once a week, more if necessary, if something major happens. But Nick, you're one of our experts, one of the charter members of the Identity Theft Warriors. We thank you for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Kerry. Thank you very much.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.